Our scripture today, this morning, comes from the 12th chapter of Paul's letter to the Corinthians, his second letter to the Corinthians. We've been reading some of Paul's words in recent weeks, and this one will be familiar, I think, but maybe challenging as well, certainly in our society. So I invite you to listen for any words or phrases that speak to you, to our church, to our world, that stand out for you. So I'll be reading verses 1 through 10 out of chapter 12. It is necessary to boast. Nothing is to be gained by it. But I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a person in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that such a person, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows, was caught up into paradise and heard things that are not to be told, that no mortal is permitted to repeat. On behalf of such a one, I will boast. But on my own behalf, I will not boast, except of my weaknesses. But if I wish to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will be speaking the truth. But I refrain from it, so that no one may think better of me than what is seen in me or heard from me, even considering the exceptional character of the revelations. Therefore, to keep me from being too elated, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from being too elated. Three times I appealed to the Lord about this, that it would leave me. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. So I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities for the sake of Christ. For whenever I am weak, then I am strong." Challenging words, and may God bless our hearing and our understanding of this scripture this morning. Any of these words stand out for you? Sharon. I will boast of my weakness. Yeah. Challenging words. Violet.
God knows.
God knows. Yep. Bottom line. My grace is sufficient. Yes. Yes. That is truth. Anybody else? Well, we will continue to wrestle with these. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Power is made perfect in weakness. How old is the small boy lying on the pallet? 5, 8, 10? Misery and suffering are ageless. Emaciated, coiled up like a fetus, all his life has taken refuge in his eyes, immense eyes that look at me without a blink. He was picked up on the street 2 weeks ago. The sister thinks that he will soon die. Try to give him something to eat. This is the only task that he can fill in Mother Teresa's home for the dying and destitute in Calcutta, or could it be Gaza? Having learned to feed his own children, he can delicately introduce a tiny bit of food in the mouth. The proximity of death has brought back this child to its infancy. Xavier Le Pichon shared this experience in 1973 that changed his life forever. Le Pichon was one of the world's foremost geologists who first introduced the world to the plate tectonics theory of how the Earth's crust moves and shifts above the molten magma that make up the center of the Earth. But in 1973, Le Pichon gave it all up. All of his science, all of his research, all of his fame. I heard him interviewed on National Public Radio a while back, and I felt like I had been in church. The next day, I found the scripture for this week from the Apostle Paul's second letter to the church in Corinth, where he talks about the thorn in his side and God's message to him. My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. Today, I want to wrestle with Paul's words, the words of Xavier Le Pichon, God's words, and the gift of suffering in our world. Now, does that make you flinch when I say the gift of suffering? It does me. Le Pichon did not say it that way, but there's no doubt that he received a priceless gift from that small boy in Calcutta, even as his own heart was ripped in two. Paul received that gift through his relationship with the crucified and resurrected Christ. He says, "Therefore I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities for the sake of Christ, for whenever I am weak, then I am strong." Does this mean that suffering is good? Absolutely not. But can God use suffering for good? Absolutely yes. My poll question for today: how many have experienced God using suffering for good? Good. Many. Well, let me share just a little more of Le Pichon's story. In his plate tectonics theory, and some of you understand this better than me, Le Pichon was fascinated by the fragility of the Earth's surface, the crust, where the rock is hard and inflexible, and in contrast, the strength and durability of the Earth's inner layers, which are in constant motion. The difference between these layers is the heat of the Earth's center, which makes the inner layers more flexible. Earthquakes and volcanoes and the tsunamis that sometimes occur all result from the upper crust of the Earth that cannot bend or give, so it breaks suddenly and violently. The foundation and strength of our Earth is found in the pliable, seemingly weak, adaptable portion of the Earth, rather than the apparently strong, unyielding, set in its own way portion of the Earth's crust. Apparently, God created a planet that was soft and pliable, that is still in process of creation even today. God created strength in weakness. Think about that. Finding strength in weakness, that seems so un-American, so un-John Wayne-ish. Now, don't get me wrong. I do believe there are principles worth holding on to and fighting for in this world. Unfortunately, they are so often the ones that seem to be unfought for by the powers that be. Or maybe that is fortunate, because it forces the weak of the earth to show their power. It was in the nonviolent revolution that toppled the powers of India in Mahatma Gandhi's time and Martin Luther King's racist America. It was Jesus willingly going to the cross, the picture of weakness before the power of Rome, that once and for all showed us the power of love. Nothing could change the structures of power until one was willing to go into the heart of that power with apparent weakness, with unconditional love. My God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus cried out from the cross. Xavier Le Pichon called out those same words as he sat with that dying boy in Calcutta. As he sat with that boy, he felt Jesus as he had never felt him before, taking on the pain of the world, taking on the suffering of this little boy and so many others. For I was hungry, thirsty, a stranger, naked, sick, in prison, and you visited me. It was in sitting with that boy that Le Pichon recognized his oneness with the suffering of all the earth. As the prophet Isaiah said, when you see someone naked, clothe him. Don't turn your back on your own flesh and blood. It was in giving that small amount of love to that little boy that Le Pichon found a strength that changed his life forever. It was in giving up every sense of strength by joining that boy in his very suffering that he connected with the greatest power of the universe, God's love. Examples of strength found in weakness include the new baby, helpless, totally dependent, but whose needs run the home when she arrives. Then there's the husband caring for his wife who suffers from Alzheimer's, who finds that he falls in love with her more than ever as he bends his whole life around her needs. It has been said that the true strength of any nation or civilization is in how it cares for its weakest members or not. So true. So true. Paul explains in our scripture that he has every reason to boast, to demand respect and power. At least in the church, he has had a vision, an experience of God's presence. He was caught up in paradise, the kingdom of God. He could brag if anyone could, but Paul chooses to boast in his weakness, his thorn in his side. We don't know what it is, but he has asked God three times that this thorn would leave him. He likens it to those torture traps where the Romans dug a pit and placed sharpened spikes to impale the one who stumbles upon it, a slow, painful, suffering death. Strangely enough, rather than boasting of his encounter with God, Paul chooses to boast of this weakness, his suffering that enables Christ to dwell in him. My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. One of the mysteries of God is that God seems to do his best work through suffering. This is part of the foolishness of Christ that Paul talks about often, but is so often ignored in today's world. It doesn't make any sense until we stop closing our eyes and turning away from all the suffering around us. We all do it. If we don't look, it doesn't exist, right? Or if we just keep on lying, the lies become truth. But when we truly look into the face of suffering and recognize God's presence with even the weakest of our world, when we become one with our sister or brother, then we know the power of God's love, the power to transform lives, civilizations, even planets. That's my hope. God's strength, God's power is made perfect in weakness. That is truth. But if we're going to open our lives, our hearts, our souls to God's love, then we're going to have to open our eyes to the needy and the suffering. Right here at home, for starters. Right in our own homes, right in our church. We have to admit our own needs, our own struggles within our church family. We have to start building strong relationships, getting to know our neighbors, our waitresses, our mechanics, our hairstylists, and we have to open our eyes and our ears to their weakness and suffering. That's hard to do when we aren't very good at doing that, even with our spouses, our children, our parents, our grandchildren. We need to learn to be better listeners, even when it's inconvenient. Suffering is not a good thing. It never is. But it is an opportunity to show the power of love, God's power. For some reason, God has chosen to work through these frail bodies and souls that we have as humans. We try to look strong to anyone who comes along, but God works best through our weakness. And when we make ourselves weak, to comfort someone else's suffering. That's our call. To follow Jesus to the cross. And that means to enter into the suffering of each other and those around us. And to love as Jesus first loved us. That is the power of weakness. So our take-home question, how can we, as individuals, as First Christian Church, enter into the suffering of others, bringing the love of Christ? Perhaps that's a lifelong question. Will you pray with me? Oh God, we give you thanks. How could we be called your beloved? How can you love us, me? How can you accept me and us as we are? How can you forgive us and just wipe away history and give us a new chance to move forward toward life in your love? It is your love that enables it all, O God. Your love, we just don't imagine it big enough, powerful enough, to really get a sense of where the true power of this world really is, and the true power that we can draw on for our own lives, for our church, for our ministries, for our community, for this nation and this world, for this universe. We just can't think big enough about your love, O God, but we thank you for it. Help us to open our hearts and our minds, open our lives, our time, our attention, to how we can share your love through weakness, through service. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.